what it was.
Almost. It's the question about soul contact and how come. Okay, so when you have soul contact, can you control it? Sometimes it seems kind of random. It doesn't. It's like they only contact you when they want to. Not like you can contact them. Contact's not constant.
Okay, you say them. What do you mean by them?
The masters or whoever does the downloads.
Okay. The main object of soul contact is to contact your own soul, and that's always available. It's really not a them, but there are them out there, like the masters, say people from the spirit world, invisible helpers. If you have strong soul contact, you will be more perceptive of these and more open to receiving messages from them that's out there. But the most important part of soul contact is to contact your own soul, which that's always available. The trouble is we're not always available to it, because we were talking about static earlier. That everybody has certain areas of their life where they are fairly free of illusions, and then other areas where they're not free. I shouldn't say everybody, because the general population has so many illusions that soul contact is very rare for them. But for the disciples, for the seekers, they usually open up like a pocket where they're relatively free from illusion. And they're capable of receiving soul contact in a certain area, but then there's other areas where they do have illusion, and this creates static. And if what they're contemplating is a mixture of true and illusion that's within their brain, then they'll have static. They'll have a hard time perceiving the true reality. And so the contact is always there. It's up for us to clear away the static. And the only way to clear away the static is to become as a little child, enter the kingdom of heaven, so to speak, where we free ourselves from our illusions. And to free ourselves from illusions, we have to, first of all, find the illusions that are troubling us. And the illusions that are troubling us are usually illusions that have their seeds to when we were very young. Things we were taught when we were a child will often carry, if we have an illusion planted in us from when we were a kid. Like maybe your dad just told you you aren't good enough to do something. Okay, that's an illusion that he planted in your mind, because you're good enough to do anything that anybody else can do. So you maybe one of your parents planted some illusionary concept into your mind that produces a bunch of static. So maybe you're pretty clear on soul contact until all of a sudden you start thinking, well, who do I think I am? Do I think I'm good enough to, you know, be like a prophet and get stuff from God or other sources or whatever? And then that creates static. So all of a sudden your soul contact shuts down because of this illusion that keeps cropping up from maybe when you were just 6 years old. And so we have to go back and find these things that's creating static in our life and remove them so we can have soul contact on the whole range. In other words, we have a radio dial. We can find any station we want. A lot of disciples can only find one station or two stations when there's a dozen stations available. We need to clear away the static so we can fine-tune not only 670 on your dial, but all kinds of other things on the dial. And then even fine-tune things that are really hard for everybody else to fine-tune, maybe. So we have to clear out that static, and to clear out that static, we got to go back to when we were young and examine everything that's been planted in our minds. Now, not everything is from when you're young. Maybe you joined in a religion when you're 20 or 21 or something like that. And maybe there was something about that religion, some doctrine that's illusionary, that you really wholeheartedly accepted. And your acceptance of that now colors everything that comes through your mind. And if you really believe in this illusionary concept, you may have an opportunity for soul contact, but then you think, well, that can't be true because it doesn't agree with this, so you rule it out. And therefore, the soul contact on this particular thing is pretty much shut off because of this particular thing that you have embraced. So a lot of our illusions, like say, go back to when we were very young, because the things we're planted in very young are very powerful. When we're very young, they're very powerful because they have a strong hold on us, especially things connected with family and things taught by our parents. But then when we begin to really embrace a religion, because often when we're young, we just kind of ignore religion. But then when you begin to embrace religion or doctrine or philosophy of any kind, which usually happens, say, between the ages of 18 to 25, is kind of an area where you really begin to examine philosophy. And those things that you embrace, you have to be examine very carefully what you embraced when you were young, because it may be illusion. And if it was an illusion, it's still coloring us. And that's one of the things we talked about last night, is things we think are true that may not really be true. Like going with the flow, for instance, everybody says. What did we talk about last night? It was challenging beliefs. Which one was it? What? Yeah, life isn't fair. That's what I was trying to think of. Like, life isn't fair. If you go around believing that and not seeing the whole picture of what's fair and what isn't, you could be trapped in an illusion. And so if your soul is trying to give you some message that's centered around fairness and you don't think anything is fair, well, you won't be able to receive it. You'll have a cloud between, like, you and your soul on this particular thing. So we have to examine all these implants within us.
JJ, I just had a little connection. You were talking about seeing auras one time.
Yeah.
And you said you got to learn not to see with your physical eyes so that you can allow yourself to see with your spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
You called it a process of not seeing.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, this is like that. It's like a process of not seeing your illusions so that you can see with the eyes of your soul.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Here's some of the things that I had written.
Training.
Here's some of the things I had written down that could be illusionary. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences. This was just meant to be. Life isn't fair. There's a reason for everything. The ends do not justify the means, or do justify the means, whatever way you want to look at it. Where do you actually draw the line on behavior? Do you find what you're looking for? Things like this. But there's all kinds of things that everybody thinks is true that may be a source of illusion that puts a block between you and your soul. You may be a plenty good enough person to have soul contact. People think you have to reach a degree of righteousness to be able to have spiritual contact, and that's not necessarily true. In the normal sense, you can be a very good person, very benevolent person, willing to give money to the poor, willing to do lots of good deeds, easy to get along with, and have no soul contact, because you may have illusions interfering with that contact. Yeah.
I think it'd be good to change the word righteousness to refinement.
Yeah.
There's other words that could be used, that's for sure. Now, the question people often ask me, they say, well, okay, this soul contact sounds well and good, and I'm willing, but I've never really had anything that I could say, this is it. I've had that spiritual communication. I've never been able to achieve this. Why not? And how do I go about doing it? I mean, is there a plan? Well, first of all, on the illusion part is the most difficult, because it's hard enough to find your own illusions, let alone somebody else find them for you, because you know yourself better than anyone else. And so if you feel you've never had soul contact, that means there's some illusion getting in the way somewhere, and you need to find those illusions and dispel them. neutralize them. At least do an experiment and attempt to neutralize them in your mind and see if the contact increases. Okay? But that's a difficult thing for people to do. But there are certain steps that you can take. The first step, the very first step, very few people have taken, is what?
Admit you could be wrong.
No, that's not the first step. First step.
Meditating?
No.
Praying?
No. Jesus spoke about it regularly.
Faith?
What?
Faith?
No.
Well, as if what Curtis had talked about, with he said he got to a place where he decided to be open, and where he let go of any possibility, he just let it go anywhere it wanted to go, and ask a question that way, and finally then he got his answer.
That's good, but that's not the first step.
Okay. Seek.
What?
Seek.
Right. D got it. Seek. First of all, you got to seek. If you don't seek and you shall find, said the Christ. So if you don't seek, well, you're not going to get it. So if you, oftentimes when people mention this, you need to ask them, have you really sought?